Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is your normal morning show host, Julie Calamine, and I am surprising you this morning because I'm being joined by my co-host, Susie Prez.
Good morning, Julie. It's so nice to be here. I don't think we've had the opportunity to broadcast together very much, but this is really fun. Thanks for inviting me.
I know, and I feel very special to be able to be joined by you this morning, Susie. And I know things are going to go well because you are the best co-host out there. Anyway, here we are at KRFY, and it is the morning show. It's Tuesday. And normally, if Phil were in town, we would be talking about any outdoor activities that took place over the weekend that we wanted to share. And you and I did have a activity outdoors together, Susie.
That's right. We went and we picked blueberries together.
Yes,
that was really fun and fast. The blueberries were huge.
Big, luscious blueberries. It's blueberry season.
That's really a fun time of year.
I know. It's so worth it. I froze mine. And blueberry season gets to be blueberry season because it's hot and it's warm and it's sunny. And I'm going to do a quick weather forecast, but that's basically the weather forecast. Hot, warm, and sunny. Today we can expect a high of 93, hot and sunny. Tonight a low of 54, and tomorrow much of the same, high 87, low 53. It goes on and on, highs in the upper 80s, lows in the 50s.
And the good news is it cools off at night. You open up your windows in the morning, you wake up to a cool house. It doesn't get too hot inside.
Yes.
Close those windows up.
Right.
During the day.
And speaking of weather, this is good weather for working in the outdoors, whether you're a young person, an old person, any sort of person. But if you're a hardworking person working for the Idaho Conservation Corps, this is great weather for you. That leads me to introducing our guest this morning. I'd like you all to meet Kate Lemon. Kate, good morning.
Good morning.
Kate, you are the program coordinator for Idaho Conservation Corps.
Yes, I run the Panhandle region for both our youth and young adult programs.
Yes, and we're lucky to have you this morning. And it's a bit of a chance encounter that has led to this morning show. Let's talk about that for a moment. I was at Round Lake State Park. You were too. What were you doing out there?
We had our graduation for our first summer session for our teen youth corps program. So they were done with their 5 weeks, and they were getting their paycheck and their certificate, and they were getting congratulated overall for their hard work they've done this summer, and it just happened to be down at Round Lake State Park.
It sure did, and it was a beautiful day, and you're under the pavilion right by the lake and the boat launch there. It's a wonderful spot for any kind of party, and I must say the young people looked very happy to be there.
Yes. Oh, well, they're always happy at the end, for sure.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I would think so. Looked like a nice, strong group of people doing work that some were wearing hard hats, I think.
Yeah, they have the opportunity to buy their hard hat at the end of the session so that they can continue to work outdoors with it or put it in their room or whatever they so please.
All right. Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about your position, what you do for Idaho Conservation Corps?
Yeah, so I coordinate the crews in the name, and I take the crews and the project partners, and I figure out where we're going to work. So we work a lot with the Panhandle National Forest. We currently have a crew out at Clark Fork Delta working with Idaho Fish and Game. They're doing some noxious weed removals. They'll do some tree planting. We had an adult crew that was up on Scotchman Peak recently doing white bark pine restoration. That crew's now out on Bear Mountain. They just headed out this morning to head back out there to do some daylighting, removing some of the other trees to help the white bark pine succeed. And then I've got another crew that's been out with Pat Hart up in Bonner's Ferry doing trail work for the last week. So a little bit of everything.
Sounds really exciting. I think our listeners would really enjoy hearing all about the Idaho Conservation Corps and what they do, how many crews you have out there. But it would be really interesting to hear a little bit more about you and how you came to be doing this work. What is your background, your work experience? How did you find your way to the Sandpoint area?
Oh, man. Okay. So my mom used to live in Troy, Montana in the 70s. And so that was my first introduction to this region. And when I came back to visit with her. And so I've worked for the Forest Service. I started off as a field biologist, doing mostly wildlife and then soil and water conservation over the years. And I got a little disheartened with the traditional job opportunities. And I ran into Conservation Corps. And so I was a crew leader for a number of seasons, and I've worked with the crews themselves, and it's it's a totally different experience going out and doing the work with a crew, especially a crew of young people, because you see that ripple effect of what you're doing, not just the work on the land, but kind of the work with the youth as well. And so I fell in love with this idea of doing more than just science and just research and just conservation, but how do we do it? And also the next generation gets that bigger picture. So yeah. I left for a little while and then came, was informed that there was a job posting, to come back to Idaho and do the Idaho Conservation Corps. And yeah. And so this is my second year here. So
yeah. Neat. So the social aspect, the bringing young people into thinking about science and working in conservation drew you back in.
Yeah, it's great. We have, the youth core of the teen program is 16 to 18 year olds. They're not allowed, they're not allowed to have their cell phone for the whole 5 weeks that they're out there. They camp the entire duration of the program. It's also an accredited program, so they can get high school credit, whether it's PE or science or math. And then on top of it, they do get a paycheck because this is a paid job. And so they get up at 5 a.m. They work 9-hour days. They have, hard hat, gloves, boots, pants, work shirts, and they're sweating away on the trail or out in the field all day long. And then they come home and do their own chores at the campsite. And then they do lessons in the evening. And it's great just being that close to the earth and that close knit of a group. It helps with not just like conservation, but equity and diversity and just really allowing themselves to kind of just find who they are in the scheme of life in this kind of microclimate, and then also get a chance to really get closer to the earth. So
you gave us some really great clues as to what the Conservation Corps is here in Idaho in the Panhandle. But let's get a little bit more down to the beginning of it.
Yeah.
You say youth is 16 to 18, but the Corps itself goes from 16 to 26.
Yeah.
So what is it? How do they know about it? How do they get involved in, giving up their cell phone for 5 weeks? Oh. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
We both went, wow.
it's part of it's part of the terms and conditions. Yeah. The way they find out about it is normally oneidahocc.org is a great way to find out about our programs. But we also have, we do go and do school recruitments. We do presentations at high schools, especially with different school counselors. And then for the young adults, youth is that general term, like you said, 16 to 26. But for the young adult program, the 18 to 26-year-olds, that's an AmeriCorps position. So that gets them an educational stipend. It's, the equivalent of an internship, for schooling or helps them get into the federal government. Because the, not to get too much in the weeds, but the longer programs, the 900-hour AmeriCorps programs, actually get them preferential hiring with federal agencies for up to 2 years. So, if folks over at Priest Lake need a new trail crew member, this is a great way for someone who's local, who does their 5 months this summer, can go and, over to Priest Lake. So
the long course is 5 months.
Yes, it is.
But there's a short course that's 5 weeks.
Yep, that's for the teen crew only. Yep. Mm-hmm.
There are more than one program. There are basically three programs.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's the teen, the 16 to 18-year-olds, 5 week. We do two sessions each summer. We have them based out of Sandpoint, Wenatchee, Washington, Boise, Eugene, Oregon, so all over. And then the young adult program, the 18 to 26-year-olds, it's either a 3-month program, which fits well with college schedules for the summer, and then the 5-month program, which is a little bit more gritty, trying to get straight into the workforce. And then we also have a conservation internship program, and those can be up to a year in length. They're incredibly varied, and really what happens is, federal agencies, our partners, come to us and say, I need someone for this position, and we help place college students or recent graduates with them.
And is that longer course the 1-year internship through AmeriCorps again?
It is,
and
yes.
And that's the traditional AmeriCorps 1-year program.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, yep. Very nice. So it's a nice collaboration between State of Idaho and AmeriCorps and the outdoors. This program began a while ago, like in the 80s, yes?
Yeah, so the Idaho Conservation Corps is a program of the Northwest Youth Corps. And the model is based off of the CCC from the 1930s. So
interesting.
It's a very similar program. Our the Northwest Youth Corps traditionally only worked with teen crews. And then as time has gone on, we've taken on other models, such as like the Montana Conservation Corps, Utah Conservation Corps. They do a lot more or did a lot more of that young adult AmeriCorps programming. And we started getting into that about 5 years ago. So okay. As far as at least in Idaho.
But a long history in helping people learn about conservation and being out in the outdoors and working. I'm just looking at your mission, Kate, and I'm seeing challenging education, job training, diverse backgrounds for people. How does diversity enter into your program?
It's a huge component. It's you know, a great example is we now have a women's crew based in Idaho. And it's an all women's crew, and then they're also now an all women's saw crew.
Wow.
Sorry about that.
That's the saw crew has to be kind of a tough part of the whole program. I know that sawing is not easy. And is it chainsaw sawing or is it?
Oh yeah, definitely. We there's quite a bit of chainsaw work that's done, especially up here in the Panhandle region.
Big trees.
There's a lot of trees. Yeah, there's a lot of need for defensible space. There's a lot of need for just kind of thinning. It's a huge fire mitigation. And then also just again, like with the white bark pine, the project that they're doing now, they're literally removing the other trees that are, you know, possibly competing with the white bark pine, giving them a leg up.
Sure. So yeah. Lots of thinning. That's interesting. So women crews, all women, and talk to me about how many people overall are in this program. How many are in the state?
Great question. I can give you last year's statistics. I'm not entirely sure what we have right now, but we had 216 participants last year and then 39 interns. I know we're closer to 60 interns this year. And we've added a couple crews, so somewhere in that range. Crew sizes are normally six to nine, depending on if it's a youth corps program, which is normally larger crews, and then the adult crews tend to be a little bit smaller.
Sure. And diversity includes women, and does it also include minority populations?
Oh yeah, totally. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
How does that fit in? I know that Idaho is we tend to be kind of a homogeneous population in general, and how does it work out in your group?
We reach out a lot to the tribes, and that's definitely one of the big ways that we do it. And then, you know, it's inclusion on all fronts. So, you know, it's LGBT. You know, I mean, that's where we're everywhere, and that's we have a queer crew out in Washington, and so there's. We have a native tribal crew that was also based out of Washington, but did a lot of work in Idaho. And so we're actively outreaching to those communities, you know, and so hoping to bring that diversity in, and then just also creating an environment where it's a safe space, you know, that if you are the only minority on the crew, then all of a sudden, you know, this isn't your, that you have the entire support of the organization behind you, that there's no way this is going to be uncomfortable for you. And that really helps just kind of help integrate naturally.
I had to step out for a moment, and you may have covered this while I was out, but can you articulate in a sort of brief way the philosophy of the Conservation Corps in general? And
yeah, definitely. So as you know, our Conservation Corps, Northwest Youth Corps, is actually we're a youth development program. So we're all about job skill training, building leadership skills, kind of having those, you know, innate successes that you can't have in other ways. And we use conservation as that tool to get those results. So we had a crew that was the youth crew that you saw graduating. They had spent 3 weeks out in the Frank Church, cross-cutting out 1,200 trees, 9 miles up a trail. And they spent those whole 3 weeks camped out there backcountry. And they withstood lightning storms. They withstood, you know, some really intense rain. They had snow one morning when they got up for work. And so those things that you overcome that just give you that, like, that feeling of empowerment and success and that ability that you can do, you know, what you didn't think you could ever do. And we use conservation as the tool to get those.
Wow. That is a remote area.
It is. Yeah. It was Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous.
So you get to go out in the field with them.
Yeah, I do. I do a lot of site visits. I do a lot of scouting. So before the projects start, to kind of make sure that, you know, everything is as it is. The road isn't washed out to get there. There's a camping location. There's adequate water sources, which can be hard this time of year, especially when you get further south. And then once they're out there, I go out to, one, to get to work myself because I miss it sometimes. And then also just to kind of, you know, we'll bring them treats out there and, you know, just make sure they're having a good time, that no one has blisters that are, you know, causing any severe problems and that they need to leave.
Well, which leads me to a question. That's quite a bit. That's a very intensely organized situation with young people and training and tools and trees falling over and this sort of thing. Talk us through it, sort of a day in the life. What is it like? That's got to be just tons of organizing and keeping track of kids and training.
Yeah, for me in the summer, I don't have days off. So it's definitely... I'm on all day. I'm on 24/7. I've got emergency phones. I've got, yeah.
She's got one right here. She wouldn't turn it off. That's normally part of our set of rules for KRFY studio, but there's a turned on phone in here.
Yes. It's very low volume though. So hopefully, and ideally it'll never ring, but I spend a lot of time checking emails, coordinating with folks. We feed the kids while they're out there. So a big component is orchestrating and organizing food. A lot of food happens. And we work, and since it's a remote program, we work primarily out of the Schweitzer Red Barn parking lot, which is great. and so at least as far as like rig shuttling and different things like that, it's a big open space and they're kind enough to let us use it. But I spend 4 hours probably every day driving.
Wow.
And then, yeah, hiking, working, talking with project partners. I'm always working about 2 or 3 weeks out. So,
yeah,
coordinating the next round.
So I have this picture of one of the crews out in the Frank Church, maybe 10, 20 miles up a trail. And you with a big backpack full of goodies for them. Is that kind of how it looks?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, totally. It's so much fun. And that's, you know, and they're really good at, you know, you create these little micro communities out there that just, they thrive. And that those smiles you saw on those faces was because they, you know, they went from being a bunch of strangers to, you know, a family by the end of it. So.
Yes, and we're going to take a song break, but when we come back, I'd like to hear what a day in the life of one of the youngsters, whether they're, regardless of the program they're in, what a day is like for them and sort of some of the feedback you hear from them. And based on a request from Kate, we've got a song, Rising Appalachia, and it's called Medicine. You are listening to KRFY. It's community-supported radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And if you find that you're only hearing part of this today, if you've got to jump in your car and can't hear the rest of it, know that we do record our morning show interviews, and we'll be posting those. You'll be able to find them as podcasts on our website at krfy.org. But before that... And that was Rising Appalachia from Medicine, a request from either Kate or someone from the Idaho Conservation Corps program. I understand it's a favorite of the kids.
Yeah,
or maybe yours.
I think it's a little, you know, anything that talks about bears and wolves, when you're out in the bear and wolf country, you can connect to. And so, yeah, there's a ton of favorites. We drive for hours at times. So, but
lots of music. Excellent.
Yes.
On break, we were talking about the program and decided that it would be interesting to hear about really the process for a person entering the program from the time of application to their first day at work to their graduation. Walk us through.
All right.
Typical. I know nobody's typical, but
yeah, exactly.
Do your best.
There is an application process, and there is a fee to that, but we offer a lot of scholarships. So no one's excluded from the program. It just helps filter out, you know, 100 students from all applying and not meaning it. So there's an application process. It is a job. So there is a microscopic interview that kind of, you know, needs to show intention to be there, desire to be there, willing to commit to the program, because as we said, it is really hard. And so that, you know, gives, you know, kind of gives us the chance to make sure that people are willing and truly ready and know what they're getting themselves into. And then after they've been accepted into the program, they spend a lot of time getting all their gear in order. So we have a gear list. They have to wear a certain, they have to wear actually their fire level boots that has to have at least a 7-inch high boot, and it has to be all leather. And then they have to make sure that they have their work pants, and, you know, we supply them their work shirts, but their, you know, their camp pad, their sleeping bag. We do provide tents. We have communal tents that people sleep in, male tents and female tents. And that's, so that's something that we provide because it's
uniform. How do we know a male tent from a female tent? Does one like zip left and one zips right?
It's, you know, you pretty much tell by which one's the loudest, and which one smells better. No. But no, there's absolutely no difference other than the crew leaders are, you know, sandwiched in between them to keep them separated. So
I have a question just going back a little bit. When they apply.
Yeah.
So first of all, you go into the schools if they're a certain age and they're still in schools, or you just haven't been advertising. And folk, they'll apply. They want to get involved in this way. Do you do, and you have the little microscopic application interview, do you do background checks?
Not on youth, no.
Okay.
Not on the 16 to 18 year olds.
After that, the 18 to 26?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Yep. Okay. Yeah. Because we're legally not allowed to do the background checks on 16 to 18 year olds.
So, as you said, and you can get references instead, probably through the school counselors and things like that. So, this is a job for many of them, and they are going through AmeriCorps, and I know AmeriCorps has an application process also.
Yeah, that's the 18 to 26 year olds. But yes, definitely. There is, It's a little bit more, we do the hiring for it, but then we also have them go through all of that application and then
secondary process.
Yep. Yeah. So there's some gear required and there's a little bit of background checking and a strong interview, and then you're accepted and off you go for your first day. What happens?
Yeah. For the 16 to 18 year olds, we have an orientation. They come in. They get a rundown on this is the tools that we use. This is the cooking setup that we have. This is how you use a propane two burner stove. This is how you set up your tents. This is how you build and dig a latrine. This is how you hang a bear hang. And these are how you pack backcountry backpacks. And so they get a whole day of just kind of the quick and dirty of absolutely everything they may do over the course of the 5-week session. And then that's on a Saturday. And then that following morning, they will get up and them and their crew leaders will pack up a big old trailer with everything and they take off for their first project. So they'll drive. Usually most Sundays are drive days. You get there, you set up camp. We do a Sunday seed. A seed is our educational component, something educational every day. Sundays they get to do an observation, so it's a little bit more whimsical or poetic. And then Monday starts work. And so normally, especially this time of year, we're up with the sun, working to beat the heat as much as possible. And it's a normally 9-hour, 8 to 9-hour days for the teen program. And they get, you know, they get OSHA required training, they get OSHA required breaks, but the rest of the time it is full on work mode. And they get done. Hopefully there's a creek nearby that they can splash around in afterwards and cool off. And then we'll dive into chores, and chores are split up between all of the crew members. So they'll do, you know, somebody's making a shotgun, which is our lunch for the next day. And some people are cleaning out coolers and organizing food boxes. Other people are cooking dinner. We do a journal entry every evening. And then the crew sits down and does a very, very kind of strict setup for dinner. And we go through and do a moment of silence. The journal entry is read. Everyone is served. And then everyone eats after everyone has an equal share of food. And then you clean up and then you do a seed and then you hopefully are exhausted and go to bed at like 8:30 and then you get up and do it all over again.
I was going to say, they're probably really exhausted. But how many participants in one crew?
For the teen crews, it's 6 to 9.
And how many leaders?
2.
Okay.
Well, to me, it sounds like this is an experience. If you haven't been living or working in the outdoors, it would be really kind of an eye opener. And do you find that most of the participants have been out in the outdoors much, or is it really new to many of them?
It's about 50-50, I'd say. Yeah. You know, I just hired someone with for a young adult program that's never gone camping in their life. Wow. But has been currently volunteering doing conservation work, you know, all summer long because they just want to get in their foot in the door. So, pretty. You know, yeah, it's great. It's a I'm excited to see their and experience it with them, and hopefully it's a great experience. So,
Kate, what percentage of the participants finish, graduate?
I believe it's somewhere in the, and this includes crew leaders as well. All of our statistics do. So I think it's like, it's high 80s, low 90s. So the majority do. And that's, I mean, obviously that's a yearly average, but yeah.
Sure. But that's a high percentage when you consider what a, it might be a rather shocking experience for people that aren't used to working hard out in the heat every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Neat.
So what are some of the reasons that someone might drop off?
There's a lot of them. A big one that we've discovered is folks that are on medications that are not used to working and sweating that much. They can have adverse reactions to it. And we have people sometimes they get elevation sickness, not around here quite as much, but Sun Valley area, we've had some problems in the past. Genuinely unhappy out there. You know, it's rare, but there are sometimes people just get really homesick, you know, or something's going on in their personal life, like someone in their family's ill and they just can't dedicate, they can't be that far away that long, you know. And for the most part, it's all usually like it's almost always legitimate reasons. Rarely is it I just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. We're pretty good at like kind of like keeping them there just long enough to where they go from being on the fence to being like, oh, okay, I like this. This is great. Mm-hmm. So
you have the counselors or the leaders that really help them work through some of the initial
yes.
that oh, they yes. might experience.
Yeah, the crew leaders, honestly, out of, you know, my job is a struggle at times, but I absolutely love it. And I think the crew leaders feel the same way. You know, they're on 24/7. They work 13 days, they get one day off, and then they go back 13 on. And they're, you know, their boss, their counselor, their, you know, we have them go through at least wilderness first aid, if not wilderness first responder, you know, so they're medic, they're, you know, they're absolutely everything. And so they, yeah.
They are the link to.
Yes, they are. They do a phenomenal job. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. I'm curious about the our participants, and do they tell you, or when you interview them, or even when they're finishing, do they give you an idea of what they're hoping to go on to do next? What are they, you know, what are they hoping they'll gain from this experience?
You know, a lot of them want a paycheck so that they can get their first car. That, you know, at least when they're first starting, that's like, that's the first thing on their mind,
the
or
basics,
like that mountain
the
bike
basics.
They've always wanted, you know?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. The things that, you know, the things that teens is in particular, you know, are in the short, in the short view, that's what they're looking at. Ideally by those 5 weeks, they're looking at something bigger picture. They're looking at possibly that next job, possibly that career. You know, the teen program, a lot of them come back. We get a lot of folks that come back, or they go on and do a YCC crew, or they'll go on and do Job Corps, which, you know, for a lot of people who are looking to do non-traditional schooling, it's a really great opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then for the, I mean, with the young adult participants, the 18 to 26 year olds, they're almost exclusively all trying to get into the Forest Service or BLM or, you know, some sort of public land management. They, you know, in whatever varying degree, whether it's, you know, fisheries or trails, recreation, they want in on public lands. They want to work outside for the rest of their lives, you know, and they normally know that. And they're trying to figure out how they get there. What's the best and, you know, sometimes fastest route for them. So
build experience and maybe help understand if they really are going to like it. But it sounds like many know this already.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we do emphasize a lot of times is that, you know, it's as someone who went to school before spending a lot of time, at least like in depth time out in the woods, you know, I'm glad that I love it as much as I do. But I saw people, you know, get their 4-year degree and then go out and like work in the woods and they're like, oh, I don't like bees and I'm allergic to everything. And they're, you know, it's like, oh,
right.
Yeah.
I hate snakes. And then what
yeah,
do you do if you're
exactly. Yeah, it's much better to know.
It sounds like the Idaho Conservation Corps gives you that first chance for some people, the first chance in a way that's digestible. And the component that's involved with AmeriCorps, as you mentioned, they do get an educational stipend afterwards. So if they are thinking of going to college, it might be that, I don't know exactly how much they get, but it can be a foot up into college.
Oh, totally.
And application into a Forest Service program or something like that.
Yeah, and the nice thing about AmeriCorps is that they, I mean, you can use that AmeriCorps scholarship to, you know, go do a NOLS course, and NOLS will match AmeriCorps scholarship. So if you want to go get your Wilderness EMT and go do search and rescue, and you've done the 5-month program, that'll cover that because NOLS will match whatever AmeriCorps brings to the table. So, you know, which is how most of the crew leaders I have now were participants at one point in time, whether for youth or young adult programs. And they use those educational stipends that they got to get, you know, higher degrees, whether it's, you know, whether it's actual, like one of them, it has his master's degree and he used his AmeriCorps for that. The other one has never done traditional schooling, but he has a ton of wilderness certifications through NOLS. And that's, you know, both equally valid.
Right. And it's not always that easy to get a scholarship for an alternative sort of course, something like NOLS. And so this is a nice way to be able to consider that if you don't have a lot of extra dollars. Does the participant receive any kind of certificate per se when they finish? Do they have having completed the Idaho Conservation Corps course, is there a certificate?
Yeah, for the Youth Corps program, there is. For the Young Adult program, AmeriCorps has its own certificate that they get. So
okay, so they do leave with a certification one way or the other.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice, very nice. Well, you haven't told us any individual stories, and I know you can't name names, but there must be some pretty interesting things that happen during the courses. Anything fun that you could share?
Yeah, I think a fun one, the crew, the most recent crew that was out in the Frank Church, they were camped 8 miles in, and then they had to hike about 4 miles up so they were working their way up the trail up to this peak. And so, you know, from the trailhead, this was 6,000 miles up, right? 6,000 feet. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. The moment I said
it
felt
like
wrong.
6,000
feet, and it was 4 miles up. There we go. That's the word we're looking for. But yeah, so by the time they finally worked their way up, so each day they worked, they pretty much inherited a longer hike the next day. And so when they finally got to the top, there was still snow up there. And they have this like crappy like drink mix stuff that's, you know, it's probably horrible for you, but it gives you energy and sugar, and it's great when you're working hard. And they call it red drink because there's nicknames for everything in Youth Corps. And so the crew went up top and like took their hard hats off during one of their breaks and put a bunch of snow in there, and then they made slushies out of it. And it was, you know, and you should see the pictures of these kids, because it's like when you think about it, you're like, yeah, slushies, but like up there on top of this mountain, and they're drinking slushies out of their hard hats, you know, and they're just jumping and happy and just so excited to they finally reached the top after 3 weeks. It was, you know, it was for almost all of them for their graduation. That was their big, like, we didn't think we could do it. And then we did it, you know, and then in the end they got slushies. So
the best slushies in the world. And they learned that they could do it. And
exactly.
That's an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
It is, and quite an accomplishment. I mean, that's a heck of a lot of work they're doing.
Yeah, it really was.
It's amazing. For you, Kate, what are some of the challenges that you work with day to day?
Oh, I mean, one of the crews had a flat tire already this morning since before I got here. And so, you know, that mitigating that, getting people, guaranteeing that people have enough food where they are, you know, just, and I know these probably don't seem like super big things, but there's just so many moving parts that happen simultaneously that, you know, the challenges for me tend to be, you know, making sure that that every single piece of the project is lined out, and it's 100% guarantee that I'm not just looking at a map seeing that there was once a water source there, that, you know, we're making sure that water source is not only there, but it's like drinkable, right? That we can treat that.
Right.
Yeah. You know, dealing with folks that have allergies, you know, making sure that people, if they need to carry their EpiPen, they have their EpiPen on them, you know, there's no like mass challenge other than it's just from the moment I wake up to the moment I go to bed, you know, I'm kind of on duty. Just, you know, a phone call can come in at any time. And if it can be as simple as a rolled ankle, but a rolled ankle, you know, 3 miles up Scotchman Peak, which didn't happen in this particular instance, but, you know, something like that, you know, can be a really big deal. And it can take, you know, half my day to kind of logistically figure out how do we, you know, can we safely get them down? Are they good to stay? How do we proceed? And then simultaneously, this entire time, we have project partners that expect the job done and the job done well and hours completed. And so you've just got to make sure that all of those things kind of come together.
Yeah, the combination of an education program with a work program, and in a wilderness setting, it's a lot to be juggling.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, you seem to have a lot of energy for it, and the whole time you've been here, you've had a big smile on your face. So I have a feeling you really love what you're doing.
I do. I genuinely do. Yeah.
With all the moving parts and the 24/7 that you're on call. And so is it a seasonal program? It starts and ends?
The crews are seasonal. My position is full time, but the chaos is only seasonal as well. So I get weekends in the winter. It's great.
Oh, that is good. Yeah. Well, we've talked about some of your challenges, but what are some of the high points? What are some of the things you've liked best about doing this work?
I would say we use the term proprioception a lot. We do every morning. We do a safety circle. And we cover, they stretch, and then they talk about safety concerns for the project or the campsite. And one of the things that is kind of inherent in the core world is this concept of proprioception and seeing that bigger picture simultaneously. And, you know, it works when you're discussing, like talking about tools, you know, and making sure people aren't in your tool space while you're using them. But it's just seeing the bigger world. It's seeing the bigger picture. It's seeing how all that life isn't black and white, right? And that's and I think watching folks kind of come in with a lot of preconceived ideas and then kind of walk out almost, I don't want to say a little lost, but a little bit more just open to the world and just a little bit more open to, you know, what might their reality be in the future. It doesn't necessarily have to be what it was in the past. And I think, you know, we get a lot of that, you know, with the not just the teens, the young adults, but, you know, the teens, it's a little bit easier because they wear their heart on their sleeve a little bit more. And so it transcends at least into kind of day to day stuff. But just watching people kind of find themselves by finding that they're kind of a small piece of a bigger whole and kind of like losing, you know, losing their ego a little bit and just kind of just like finding passion and compassion and understanding and just all these things that make such great humans and, you know, turns them into great citizens of a community.
That is absolutely beautiful. And what about the spirit of community as they are maybe going into this program as a feeling of a singular person, but they learn that they have friends. They develop lifelong friendships, but also how to be with others.
Yeah, definitely. And if others that you don't necessarily have anything in common with, you know, it's great too. It like shows them, you know, like the amount of times we go, hey guys, you know, this is going to happen in the real world. You may not get along with someone you work with. You may not like your neighbor. These things might happen, right? Like, and how do we go about making this like, you know, a happy, livable space for everybody that everyone enjoys their day and, you know, and even people who with the biggest, you know, kind of personality clashes, even after, you know, 5 weeks or 5 months, all of a sudden, you know, they may not like each other, but they respect each other. And that's huge, you know, and I think that's a great thing for people to learn is that they don't have to agree with someone or like someone to respect them.
It's so true. And working together on a common cause, even if you don't always share the same beliefs or attitudes, can really draw people together.
Yeah.
And for them to be able to do that at a young age is pretty fabulous. Mm-hmm. It really is.
A great skill to learn early. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kate, we will be running short on time before long. And so as we wrap things up, is there anything that we've missed that you'd like to share with us? Any upcoming events?
We don't really do events. We just work.
Work all the time.
I wish we had more fun. No. Mm-hmm. No, I mean, we do have, you know, we have a second session. We also, Idaho in general, will have a fall session this year for youth participants for the 16 to 18 year olds. I think it's actually 16 to 19 for that. So for folks that may have recently graduated and if they're not 100% sure what they want to do with this next leg of their life after high school, we do as it's great having a fall program. So
Still
if anyone's out there, I think for the summer, we're totally full in almost all regards. But as for the fall program, we're still taking folks. So if they are interested, come idahocc.org and have them check it out, because we got a lot of great projects lined up. So
good to know that they could still participate this year if they're interested.
Definitely.
Why don't you share all your contact information with us? I'm not sure we've run through it in case people are interested or want their child to be thinking about getting in touch with you all.
Yeah, the website's the best. Idaho Conservation Corps, idahocc.org, and then personally, if you want to send me an email, I'm KAITL at idahocc.org. And then also the Northwest Youth Corps, which is our parent organization. They do a lot of programs in the fall as well. And same thing with, we have some young adult crews that start based out of Washington and Portland. So if folks want to travel and do a little different regional work, it's definitely available. And then always, we are a nonprofit. If I haven't said that, we are a nonprofit. So, we will always accept donations.
Okay. And what about additional volunteers? Are you looking for adult helpers, or is that a more specialized group that you would have helping?
Yeah, normally if we do a community, sometimes we do community-based things, then yeah, definitely. As of right now, I don't have anything planned. We try and do work parties when we can. And so there's nothing, but as of right now, since it's in the meat of the season, nothing's happening other than just the crews themselves. So, I always have goals of, doing more fundraisers, but that would definitely be probably more this winter when we're all really tired and bored and need something to do. So yeah,
absolutely. Is there a newsletter, or should folks just stay in touch with you via your website? What's the best
way? The website. I think there is a blog link on the website, but I'm not exactly sure what it is off the top of my head.
Okay, so. But people can go there.
And... Oh yeah, definitely. And there's photos, there's information, there's a ton of stuff.
And that website again is idahocc.org.
Yeah.
There you go.
OCC. All right, the Conservation Corps. Well, I'd like to thank you, Kate Lemon, for joining Susie and me this morning and telling us more about Idaho Conservation Corps than we knew earlier.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Yes, and what a great youth group that we didn't really know much about until now. Yeah. Thank you.
Really glad you came in. That was interesting.
Yes. All right, well, we have one more song selected by this group, and it's a John Denver song, Paradise. We'll take a short music break, and then Susie and I will be back to talk about upcoming KRFY events and upcoming community events. John Denver.